Time when we encourage one another to slow down, to take deep breaths, to focus on what's most important. Now, the conventional wisdom is that Advent is the 4 weeks before Christmas, and therefore, it is meant to prepare us for Christmas. But what if Advent isn't about getting us ready for Christmas? In our reading today, we don't have an angel declaring that a holy baby is on the way. We don't have wise men following a star to Bethlehem. We don't even have John the Baptist crying out in the wild lands. We have a fully grown Jesus telling his followers to keep alert, keep awake, keep the faith. And this is all happening just before Jesus is arrested in Jerusalem. So what if Advent isn't about getting us ready for Christmas? What if Advent is about getting us ready for everything that comes after Christmas? We're going to do our reading now, and I forgot to bring my bulletin up with me. Shame on me. I believe it's Mark 13, 24 through 37. Is that right? I'm getting some thumbs up. Okay, so the gospel according to Mark, the 13th chapter, beginning at verse 24. Jesus says, "But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It's like a man who goes on a journey, and he leaves his home, he puts his servants in charge, each with their work, and he commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at the cock's crow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake." The Gospel of the Lord. Like I said, that doesn't seem very, very Christmassy, does it? Doesn't seem very Advent-y. In less than another chapter, Jesus will be telling his disciples to keep awake, and they will not. And the guards and the mercenaries will come, and they will snatch up Jesus and arrest him and beat him and put him on trial and eventually crucify him. Not exactly pre-Christmas material. But that's what's our first Advent reading. And if you joined us on October 18th, a little over a month ago, you heard a similar teaching from Jesus in Matthew chapter 24. In that passage, Jesus warned his followers to also stay awake and alert. And as we learned, he was inviting his followers and us as his followers many years later to plant our spiritual roots so deep into the love of God that our hearts will not grow cold, even in the most dire of circumstances. We learned from the Word that growing deep roots into the Word of God means having faith. Having faith that when we love others, even when that love is costly or seems foolish, that love will bear fruit. People will be blessed in the name of Jesus. The world will be healed, at least in some small way. And someone, by our actions, by that fruit, will come to know the saving grace of God through the power of Christ Jesus. In Mark's version of this message from Jesus, similar to what we read in Matthew 24 a few weeks ago, Mark tells us that Jesus says, there's another component to this faithfulness that we're being taught. Another component of faith, being a follower of Jesus, keeping the faith does not mean simply believing that God exists or knowing that Jesus was way cool. There was a man named Charles Blondin. He was the first person to walk a tightrope across the Niagara Falls back in the 1850s and 60s. He famously not only walked across it, but even carried his manager, the guy in charge of promoting him, on his back on a tightrope across Niagara Falls. After doing this a few times on a few different days with crowds watching, Charles Blondin grabbed a wheelbarrow and he asked a spectator if he thought he could walk the rope again while pushing the wheelbarrow. And this particular spectator said, "Why, yes, I believe you could do that, Mr. Blondin." Charles Blondin then famously asked the spectator to prove their stated belief by hopping in the wheelbarrow. The spectator declined. Jesus is telling us that our faith in him, will cost us something. We don't get to sit on the sidelines and watch the action from a safe distance. Jesus is telling us to take a risk, to hop in the wheelbarrow, to stay awake, stay alert, stay faithful. Your faith will cost you something. In most of this teaching, the cost is equivocated to sleep deprivation. How many of you have ever forced yourself to stay awake? Okay, I'm seeing a lot of hands, a lot of folks who maybe worked a night shift or stayed up all night writing a final exam, final paper. I don't know if just, you know, drinking a bunch of sodas and playing video games counts as sleep deprivation, maybe. If it was, the youth group would be really good at it. But there's that other kind of sleep deprivation where you force yourself to stay awake, not because you're having fun, but because you know you need to. It can be uncomfortable. It can be unpleasant. It can hurt. If you experience sleep deprivation enough, it can cause long-lasting health detriments, far beyond simple exhaustion or fatigue. Sleep deprivation was a common experience for Jesus' audience. We're talking about shepherds, farmers, laborers who knew what it meant to keep a watch set on a cold night or to walk all night to a neighboring city for an opportunity to work there in the morning. After asking his followers to take up their crosses and to follow him, or asking them to stay awake and stay alert, we should know that our Lord Jesus is not promising us that we will always be happy, always be healthy, always be wealthy, always be comfortable. Rather, Jesus is promising us that this cost, this risk of our discipleship, the price we pay to stay alert, the price we pay to keep the faith, that cost will be nothing compared to what we are receiving from him. The people of Jerusalem, the generation that Jesus was speaking directly to in this passage, in their lifetime, this generation that lived in Jerusalem would witness the death and resurrection of the Messiah. They would witness this rise of this new way of Christ that would start with dozens and in a matter of days become thousands and then hundreds of thousands and sweep across the Roman Empire and into Persia and Africa. They would also in that same generation witness the utter destruction of the city of Jerusalem and the holy temple at its heart. The destruction of the temple was a catastrophic historical event that shaped history both for the Jewish people and the Christian people and even the rest of the world for all time. And Jesus is predicting it, prophesying that it will happen, and warning them to stay awake, stay alert. Recognize that this will not be the end. Keep the faith. The destruction of the temple happened in the year 70. A long time ago, obviously. But here in 2020, in our own lives, since March, we have also experienced a challenging event. Now, we have not suffered under a war or a famine, but we have seen our daily lives changed radically. We lost our temple of regular worship in our building for a few months. Many folks, because of health concerns, continue to lack the ability to worship in the building with us in a physical community. We lost the regular comforts of fellowship with our whole congregation. 2020 will go down in First Presbyterian Church history books as the year that we did not have an Easter breakfast or a silver tea. Outside of church life, all of us have spent a long season without many of the important milestones and routines and celebrations and even rites of passage. Graduations, weddings, funerals have been starkly different and limited or even postponed. Many people that we know, many people in our own church family and in our connected networks have lost jobs, have taken seriously ill from the virus. Many of us have lost loved ones. We have faced new and serious challenges this season. We've also adapted. We've done our best to endure these challenges while not letting our hearts grow cold. We are finding new ways to safely love others in Jesus' name. A few days ago, we had our first drive-through Thanksgiving box giveaway, and it was a roaring success. If you follow the food bank on Facebook, or if you watch the local news, you probably saw how many hundreds of thousands of pounds of food were donated directly to folks who needed it. We had a really cool setup in the parking lot with multiple lanes, two lanes for drivers, and then a staging area on either side of those lanes, and then a central lane where the new trucks continued to back up and be unloaded with more goods, thanks to everyone who helped out in some way or another with that process. In addition to that, we're doing walk-through well meals where people come right up to the glass doors here on Cushman and receive a hot meal. And I know on this last Wednesday, as the youth and the Dreidoppels and June, and if anybody else I'm missing, Paul Bunnell and Sarah were all here helping put the tree up. The Reichharts were doing the well, and they actually ran out of food. More and more people are coming to utilize this new way of doing the well and picking out food. And it was wonderful to know that not only did we use all the food that we had to give, but some of the leftover pizza we had from the Christmas tree raising got donated as well, which was really cool. We're recording and streaming our worship services to well over 100 people. Sure, most of them are Fairbanks folks who need to stay away from indoor gatherings for a season, but many of them are from outside Alaska and even outside America. Hello, wonderful people. In this challenging time, we continue to pray for one another. We bless the people around us in Jesus' name. So yeah, we might not have suffered in the same way that the people Jesus prophesied directly to. We have not lost our city or our temple the way that they did. But we have faced some suffering, some kind of tribulation in this season. And in our word today, Jesus is saying that all of this pain, all of this suffering, all of these challenges, they will come. The mental and spiritual and physical effort of staying faithful, staying kind, continuing to love through that turmoil, it will take its toll. But the reward for staying awake, for trusting God when it would be far easier to buy whatever answer the world is selling right now, Jesus is saying that our reward will be wonderful and our reward will be eternal. Advent is not about opening little cardboard doors on a calendar. Advent is not about slowly adding more figures to our nativity sets. Advent is not just about getting ready to celebrate Christmas. Advent is about getting our heads on straight again. Advent is about hiding our own hearts so deep inside God's heart that no one will know the difference, least of all us. Advent is about inviting God's Holy Spirit to come and allowing that Spirit to work in us so that we are prepared, not just for another holiday. No, no. God is preparing us to endure the challenges that we face, the suffering that we will endure. God is preparing us so that we can stay awake, we can keep the faith, that we will come through the other side more ready to love neighbors, to love enemies, in the name of Jesus. We will come through the other side more intimately aware of just how much God loves us. In Advent, God is preparing us to come through the other side ever more grateful for how far Christ has carried us in our challenges. And in Advent, God is preparing us to be ever more expectant for how far we can go still walking by the side of our Lord Jesus, because he is inviting us to come with him, to see what's next, to prepare and celebrate for Christmas, yes, but to follow him far further than that. Will you please pray with me? Lord Jesus, as we prepare for your birthday, for this wonderful good news that God is with us, Lord Jesus, we ask that you would also prepare us for what comes next, that we would be looking with anticipation to the future that you are calling us into. God, we understand that this life is not always easy. And yet, as we think about the sufferings and the trials we've endured, we rejoice that you've carried us this far, and we rejoice at how far we can go with you. So, Holy Spirit, come now, that we could abide in the heart of God and God's heart could abide in our own. We ask that as we think about Christmas, as we think about hope and joy and love, that we could start with faith. Faith that is more than just an idea, but a way of living and being in the world that knows the best is yet to come. We pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen.